So now that we've looked a little bit about these stages in terms of the economic base and their development in historical periods, let's get back to the individual for a moment.
Right.
Little old me. What creates movement through each one of these stages for an individual?
Yeah.
What actually pushes? Is it something happens from the outside, something from the inside, both?
Everything. It's a four-quadrant affair. It involves factors in the upper right, which means the individual it, the organism. It could be genetic factors, nutrition, predispositions, innate factors, biological factors. Occasionally, an actual drug can trigger a temporary state change. Now, those are all things that happen in the objective organism. It can be in the lower left or the cultural worldview. Some cultures encourage growth, some inhibit it. We talk about the fact that the center of gravity acts as a kind of magnet. It pulls you up to that level if you're below it. But if you try to go beyond it, it pulls you down. It's a drag at that point. In individuals, it seems to be a combination of several things. One is whatever level you're at, let's just for this example, let's say your general center of gravity is at stage 3. Now, of course, you really have a dozen or two dozen developmental lines that can be at all sorts of different levels, but we're just using this very generic kind of overview. So your center of gravity can be at level 3. It's conformist. It's kind of a mythic orientation, kind of a fundamentalist orientation. It's ethnocentric. What you have to do is really taste that level more or less to its full. You have to explore it. You have to sort of taste everything it has to offer. When you're first introduced to that level, you're coming out of magic because magic failed. You were sitting there thinking you could turn the spinach into candy, but no matter how much you thought about it, it's still spinach. So you turn to mom and say, "Mom, can you make the spinach turn to candy?" Now you're taking a mythic orientation. You're sort of up. It's a big relief to actually find that there's somebody out there listening to your prayers, and if you pray to them correctly, they will perform miracles for you. So a lot of people slot into that fundamentalist level with a great deal of salvation and relief, and this is fantastic. Somebody's looking over me personally for all eternity as long as I pledge allegiance to them and follow their rules written in their book. And you have to really taste that through and run up against, well, on the positive side, you have to take what that level has to offer. All of these levels of consciousness and awareness are aspects of our own being. They're all very, very important. And so saying that, well, I don't like that level is like saying I'll get rid of my kidney or get rid of my toe because I don't particularly like it. These are all dimensions of our own being in the world. They're all dimensions of spirit's own manifestation in the world. So at this wave or band of consciousness, awareness, and being, we're really sort of tasting this particular aspect of development itself. At some point generally, though, because any of these manifest levels are partial, I mean, it's just sort of the nature of things, that partiality starts to come to the fore. You get tired of it. You've been there, you've seen that, you've prayed to God a million times, and he's either not listening, or he's drunk, or he's doing drugs or something, but he doesn't care what happens to you, and it really starts, you have a crisis of faith, and basically in your own level of awareness. In any of these levels, what happens is after you've sort of tasted it and gotten the full of it, you run into parts of reality that don't fit its worldview. You run into something that doesn't make sense according to these basic principles that you've been believing. And at that point, there's a whole dissonance, a whole kind of earthquake tends to go on because it's just not working and you know it. There then has to be some sort of letting go. There can be kind of an insight in the present situation. Sometimes it happens very seamlessly, almost in an unawares fashion, but a higher, wider, deeper stage begins to emerge. And at that point, there generally is a kind of a fresh orientation. There's a new vitality. You see the world through fresh lenses, and you start exploring that new world. It really is kind of a new vista. It's entirely new territory. And so the process goes, and you'll keep doing that until you sort of tasted it all, and then it still somehow doesn't quite work. And each of these things can be a very painful kind of death and rebirth. I mean, it's really a matter of what we're identified with. And we talked earlier about the whole notion of these levels or waves of consciousness is that they sort of continually expand, sort of from egocentric to ethnocentric to worldcentric to an identity with literally all manifestation, an identity with everything that's arising moment to moment. Cosmic consciousness with a big capital consciousness. And it's KOS, cosmos, which we haven't talked about, but it's an old Greek term meaning the whole enchilada and not just the physical cosmos, which is what usually COS means. So we sometimes call it KOS MIC, cosmic consciousness, meaning identity with all of these levels, in a sense. But you start really identified with just your own individual body, so to speak. And then you find that your identity can expand to your family and then to your tribe. At some point, it can expand to people in a group of friends or peers. It can expand at some point to a nation. You can identify with all the humans in the nation. At some point, you can identify with all human beings everywhere. At some point, you can identify with sentient beings everywhere, all life in all domains. And at some point, you can identify with all of manifestation. So that's what these sort of increasing circles of care, compassion, and consciousness are. And that's what the developmental scales are mostly about, is that permanent increase in depth and breadth and width in consciousness. So we start, though, and remember, this is just stages. There are states of consciousness and so on that don't go through these. We'll get to that. But a narrower identity, when you really are identified with it, you really are identified with it. And in order to let go of that, it can be a very, very painful death process. It can be frightening. Some people actually experience it as a kind of a death seizure, because you're really letting go of an identity with that level and expanding to a deeper, wider identity. And it's no different than any other thing you have to let go of. Breaking up in a relationship, breaking up in a marriage, leaving a friend, that's exactly how it's experienced. So it can be very painful and very difficult, unless you've tasted that relationship so much that it's just time to move on. And then you really know that it's time to move on. And that's generally what happens with these things. Remember, up to the general center of gravity in a culture, which for us is somewhere around this modern to postmodern levels that we're talking about, culture is kind of yanking you up by the back of your neck, whether you like it or not. I mean, you just, if you go through the educational system and sort of get on about your life, you're pretty much going to end up somewhere around level 5 or so. Beyond that, though, it's a really an uphill climb. You get no help from the culture. You really have to find small communities or sanghas or gatherings of people who are practicing techniques to bring in these higher states and stages of being. And that's generally where meditation, contemplation, yoga, integral psychotherapy comes into play. But that's clearly an uphill climb. And it's a lot of work, it's a lot of effort. 1,000 years from now, center of gravity will be higher and you'll get a free ride up to that level.